Good afternoon. I will call to order the regular assembly meeting of the Petersburg Borough here on Monday, April 13th, 2026 at noon. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn.
Mayor Lynn is excused.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor.
Here.
Member Martin.
Here.
Member Mucci.
Here.
Member Newman.
Here.
Member Schwartz.
Here.
Member Valentine.
Here.
Thank you.
We have six members live in chambers with Mayor Lynn excused. Now let us rise for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to agenda item three, entertain a motion to approve the regular assembly meeting minutes from March 16th, 2026.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The approval of the minutes passes unanimously. To item four, to either the amendment or approval of today's meeting agenda, I would either entertain a motion to approve as is or to amend.
Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci, yes.
I'd like to amend the agenda to add under 11E a report from Borough Clerk Regula on the Human Resources Conference she attended last week.
Is there a second?
Second.
And on, in terms of all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? If there are no other amendments, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Member Mucci, and I believe that was Member Newman. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously as amended. We have no public hearings today, and we have no bid awards, which will bring us to persons to be heard related to today's agenda. Anyone like to speak to items related to today's agenda? Please step forward, state your name, and as a reminder, you have 5 minutes. We ask that you be respectful and civil and look at the audience. I know that won't be an issue, but it needs to be said anyway. Proceed.
Yes, my name is Molly Tiber. I'm here representing myself, and I'm on my own time. Excuse me. I'm kindly asking you to support the resolution in front of you today. The resolution is asking for a defined benefit pension plan for employees in your community and in your state. Many of you are familiar with the plan, and we have discussed this important issue. Having a defined benefit plan rather than the current defined contribution plan will keep us working in the community in which we live and help us acquire workers in many important positions that we cannot fill. It will also greatly assist in any upper level positions that we'll need to be hired for in the future within our borough or hospital and our school system. Not having a retirement plan in place that will assist in providing a defined, dignified life into retirement is an issue for many of us working today here in Petersburg and in the state of Alaska. This is emphasized by us not being able to pay into a Social Security account as well. The amendment brought forward this past Friday by Senator Sedman is asking for the risk of this defined benefit plan to be put onto the employers and the employees, his constituents. Many of us do not support this amendment. We want a plan that will work for our employers and the people of our state. His amendment is not needed. The actuaries have been out about this plan, and it can be supported within the state retirement system, similar to the plan that a few of you are on today. This is protection of his decision that he made in 2006, which was to take away the defined benefit from the Alaskan workers. In the 20 years that this decision has been made, we've been trying to retrieve this back. We have the data, the support from most of the House and Senate, and other municipal assemblies, such as Anchorage and Fairbanks, who have signed resolutions to support a fair, dignified retirement plan for workers in their community and within the state. Please support the resolution in front of you today, and if needed, editing to show that you support House Bill 78 prior to Amendment Number 1 that was made last week. This is likely to be heard again in Senate Finance to review the impacts of this amendment on the bill. I'm hopeful that the committee will strike this amendment. The real fiscal question is whether we can afford to maintain a system that is not working. The greater risk is continuing exactly what we are doing now. Thank you for your service to our community.
Thank you for your testimony. Otherwise, just feel free to come up as you see fit.
Hi, Tom Kowalski. And I'm speaking for a bunch of people. We have over 300 people that signed a statement of concern to relocate towers that are planned or are already up. But in the discussions and in the investigations that we've made, we've came to a realization that there is no radio frequency monitoring occurring here in Petersburg. Several people, citizens with their own equipment, have been out about town and have documented some places where the radio frequencies exceeded levels that they thought were safe. They're not experts. And so I just wanted to speak on that for a minute, because with some citizens being able to identify places where there's very strong frequencies occurring, and being that there is a range within the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that does limit the amount of RF that can be emitted, it's concerning. And it's concerning to the people that read those machines and understand what they're looking at. I recommend that we consider either a yearly or maybe four times a year, I don't know, some sort of schedule to have an outside organization come in here and an expert and read radio frequency values. And that's one thing. Another item that's not on the agenda is ordinance language. I don't think we've created anything that regulates data centers, and there's talk about town to actually maybe start allowing data centers come to our town. One thing that this town has seen over the years, especially recently, are high surcharges in the wintertime when power is limited. There are other instances where power needs to be monitored and generators are used for maintenance reasons, and all that costs money. What we need to do before we allow any data centers is to figure out what is the capacity, because what is our power capacity? What can we allow? And how are we going to apply that? So anyway, just some things to think about in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Hello, my name is Joshua Adams. I'm with the Planning Commission in Petersburg here. I represent myself. I don't pretend to represent other people on the commission, but we've been doing some research for a communications towers overlay with the state and federal government, where most of the good land, based on testimonies and general accord that we've had in our among the other commissioners and with the public, most of the good land is in state and federal. There's a fairly straightforward process for the lease of federal lands. We're in the lowest cost bracket, being a small rural community, which is a real advantage to us. I highly recommend that we partner up together and we work on getting this tower overlay together so that we can provide the carrot for these companies like Tidal Network. But the stick, we simply cannot allow them to plop whatever they want in the middle of our backyard. We cannot allow Tidal Network or GCI to place communications towers in residential neighborhoods. That's not okay. I know that we're not allowed to use health as a criteria under FCC regulations, but that just does not mean that they get to do whatever they want simply because they own the land. Give us the cover and work with us so that we can develop this communications tower tower overlay so that we can give them a viable location for their towers where they can put them that works for the community. And this is so important because if we do this now and if we act diligently, future generations will be thanking us. Thank you for listening. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony.
Hello. My name is Dana Tinas, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. My lords, I humbly petition you. Oops, wrong century. I forgot we're currently living in a representative republic, and that instead of the people serving masters, we elect people who promise to represent and hear our concerns. So sorry. I ask you to consider the desires of your own constituents over the desires of the tech companies that seek to impose their will on the unwilling inhabitants of our little town. Educate yourselves and consider the merits of their concerns. These concerns, whether you currently consider them unfounded or not, need to be evaluated in light of the federal government's mad rush to remove the barriers of local regulations against the installation of towers, particularly since the FCC refuses to consider health implications as legitimate, even while refusing to update their own health studies for decades, despite a court order to do so. Quality of life is precious to most Southeast Alaskans, and your job is to protect that quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyone else like to speak to visitors' views related to today's agenda? Please step forward. State your name and who you represent. The floor is yours.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Shumway. I'm representing myself and the Associated Teachers of Petersburg. I'm here today to ask you to support the resolution in support of House Bill 78, which would establish a defined benefit retirement plan for public servants in the PERS 4 and TERS 3 tiers. For many years, Alaska offered its teachers and public employees a competitive and secure retirement. I know that some of you on the assembly personally benefit from that system. It made public service appealing, encouraged employees to stay in their jobs, leading to an experienced, committed, stable workforce. That changed in 2006 with the creation of the defined contribution system for all new employees. The new system, PERS 4, TERS 3, shifted all of the risk away from the state and onto employees, removing the predictability of a pension and replacing it with the uncertainty of a market-based return. While many argue that this is what the private sector has, the major difference is that public employees in Alaska have been locked out of the Social Security system, removing the safety net that should make market returns, should market returns not prove sufficient. In fact, public employees and educators in Alaska are the only such workers in the entire country who have access to neither Social Security nor a pension. This system has created huge issues with recruitment and retention across the state. The system incentivizes short-term employment, where employees work until they are vested and then take their accounts and move on to jobs or states that allow them to build a more secure retirement. Staying in the system means risking outliving one's retirement savings with no safety net. I began teaching in 2006, so I've been in the system my entire career. I've watched the shift occur. I've seen too many early career teachers work for a few years, gain valuable experience and expertise, and then move on to other states with secure retirements. In education, as in most fields, experience and consistency matter. The data in Alaska clearly indicates that schools with the lowest turnover have the best student outcomes. Even in Petersburg, which is a great place to live and work, we have seen too many talented teachers move on to other jobs or other states because it does not make financial sense to remain. The number of Petersburg residents affected by this issue is staggering. Between borough employees, hospital employees, the school district, Fish and Game, DOT, hundreds of Petersburg residents who have chosen careers in public service are denied a secure retirement. I'd like to take a moment to address some of the concerns and issues related to this bill. First of all, this is not a system, return to a system that created a huge liability for the state. The bill includes a built-in cost sharing, with employees contributing increasing amounts if the plan falls below 90% funded. That is a responsible, thoughtful, measured approach that acknowledges the role employees have in funding their own retirement and ameliorating the risk that the state takes on. In its original form before last Thursday, this also meant the bill did not cost employers any more than the current system. That leads me to the amendment that Senator Steadman proposed and pushed through last Thursday that would increase the local contribution to the PERS system from 22 to 24%. This amendment would create a new and unnecessary burden for local municipalities and school districts. According to estimates from the Alaska Retirement Management Board, this would cost the school district in Petersburg nearly $30,000 every year, the borough over $130,000, and the medical center over $200,000. It's my personal opinion that this amendment is a poison pill intended to undermine the broad support that the plan has across Alaska. The other amendment completely removed the cap on employee contributions. This is a statewide issue and one that the state needs to invest in addressing. This amendment shifts all of the burden away from the state and back to employees and local governments. I believe that to pass this resolution would make an important statement. If this body representing this community chooses to voice your support for the public employees who live here, in spite of Senator Steadman's amendments, that would signal how seriously you take this issue and how important it is to your constituents. This bill can still be fixed, either on the Senate floor or in conference committee because the House has passed a previous version. But our leaders in Juneau need to hear from you, our local elected officials, our employers, rather than just employees, if that effort is to be successful. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anyone else who'd like to speak to issues related to today's agenda? The floor is yours.
Thank you. My name is Eric Wolf. I'm here speaking on my own time as myself and representing nobody else. I'm not going to continue to go on about HB 78 and all of its benefits to the employees. We all know what the benefits are of having a stable workforce, stable retirements, and people that want to and can remain in our communities. Right now, currently under the Tier 4 system, the viability of one person being able to work in Petersburg without SBS, without a lot of these other things, and remain in our communities is not possible. They say the bill's designed to be portable, but is that truthfully what we want? Our officers, our garbage drivers, our electricians, anybody, their teachers, porting their retirements out to go to places that are, you know, maybe not more desirable to them, but allow them to work and retire dignitably. I choose to think that that's not what this council wants and what this community wants or anybody in the state wants. I would implore you guys to support HB 78 in its previously unmodified state, as I think that's what's best for the community and best for our workforce, regardless of where they're at located in this. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Anyone else like to speak forward to issues related to today's agenda? Mr. Kowalski, you've had the floor once already for issues related.
Yes, a different item.
Let's let everyone else who wants to speak first and you can come on the back end, please. I'm sure there's others. Thank you. Trying to keep it tight with the Roberts rules.
Hi, my name's Tara Lucas and I'm representing myself, although I've spoken to a lot of people who feel the same way as I do, and I haven't heard of one person who doesn't think like I want to share. And my first thought is, what kind of government would tell us not to consider our health when we're going to put up towers, when they want to put up towers? That doesn't make sense. And so right there is a red flag and something worth fighting to stop. And I really admire Hawaii in that they're taking down their towers. I think that's very smart. I had a friend, or not a friend, but an acquaintance, somebody who is very kind and I run into from time to time. She said, you know, what do you know about this tower stuff? I said, I haven't heard anymore, but she said, well, you know, you can become a target because you're posting against it. And I said, yeah. And what I'd like to say now is we are a target. If our government is not going to consider our health or our environment or the migratory birds or the plants, there's so much evidence out there that this is not good for us. I feel like I've heard of Americans in other countries and that people can, they know who we are by how we walk because we know what freedom is. We don't have our heads down and we know how to stand up for what's right, and we have some rights, and we do have rights. And so I say no towers. I say no data centers. I say it's worth the fight to not have them. I'd say take down what is here. Yeah, so the Native people came here, I've heard, and read through the ice when there was a lot of ice here, and they didn't need towers. And people during the Depression, I've read that some people get dropped off with just a couple tools, and they made a life here and worked hard to get something as simple as goats, and they had a good life. I grew up in Cake, and we'd have CBs to communicate with. And I say we're free people. We don't need that, and it's worth the fight to stop them. I live across in Kuprinoff, and I look over, and there's these ugly towers that are shooting up above everything and blocking the view. They're unattractive. They're not healthy, and it's just wrong that we can't even consider the health, our health. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Vice Mayor Stangreger, I have someone online that would like to speak next.
That would be lovely.
Okay, this is Chad.
And before I go to that, I'm going to refer back to Mr. Kowalski. We're going to keep it to one for each item, one person each. You can, if you have more comments, yield 5 minutes and visitors unrelated. All right, go ahead. Thank you, Clerk.
So, Chad, go ahead if you can hear me.
Sorry, somehow our this is Carolyn Carvey.
Hello, this is Chad Carvey. Yes, my wife and I are down here working in California and pulled off on the side of the road. But we are calling because this issue of the communication towers is so important to us. We own a property in Papkeys we bought last year. We're going to build a small cottage there very near where the communications tower. And I see that New Business Point G, the communications tower site alternatives being discussed for the site adjacent to the fire station. I don't know if that same thought can be applied to the communications tower down at Papkeys, but that is absolutely what needs to be happening. It's very specific, very clear that we need to look at properties away from populated areas. So I just wanted to put in my vote of approval and support for that and against having these towers in populated areas. And this is a fight that I had to do many times as a school principal in regards to populated areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Carvey. Anyone else online right now, Clerk Regula?
No, there's no one.
Other members of the audience would like to speak to things related to today's agenda? Go ahead, Mr. Mergers. Floor is yours.
My name is John Mergers. I'm here concerning the cancellation of leases on the Scow Bay turnaround. And I want to thank the borough for allowing me and my employees to lease space on the turnaround pad for 15 years. That's 15. Those leases allowed us to make an estimated 600 plus hauls of crabbers, gillnetters, trollers, sailboats, and pleasure craft for work pad services on the Scow Bay pad, employing many shipwrights, keeping marine services local instead of having to go to Wrangell, and generate many thousands of dollars in sales tax and lease revenue and local purchases. All 15 years have a perfect safety record and no complaints from the borough. I consider it a successful partnership with the borough and area vessel owners. That success for the community is much the doing of Taylor Polar, owner of 13 Marine in the audience here, who is also losing his lease as I am. I will suffer financial loss from losing my lease, but not nearly as much as Taylor. Taylor has put his life savings into improvements with a large heated building and utilities, the first of its kind in Petersburg, accommodating most of our commercial fleet. Tearing down the building for future use is likely unaffordable. Yes, he is aware that his lease allowed cancellation for public use. And no borough employee made any written promises or statements excluding Taylor or myself from the cancellation clause. However, there were inferences that Taylor's lease was safe from cancellation. I, as well as Taylor, have attended every meeting pertaining to the Scow Bay project, whether it be the Harbor Advisory Board meetings, Scow Bay Steering Committee, PND engineers. Taylor's operation was always discussed, always commended, and thought to be critical. Taylor was always consulted for his advice on the utilities and the infrastructure. I was proud of his professional wisdom, and I assumed, like Taylor, his lease would be given some priority considerations. Again, I am not inferring any wrongdoing by the borough, but sometimes the end does not justify the means. It's unusual for a local young family to commit so deeply to a badly needed service. And by coincidence, Taylor's and Cynthia's second child is due the same proximate date as the lease cancellation. Lastly, Taylor and I are honored the borough is striving to duplicate our business model. We hope we are allowed to participate. Weather, fuel prices, seafood marketing volatility, environmental challenges are causing a perfect storm for the local fleet, and it's a bad storm. Petersburg vessel owners hope you can somehow allow Taylor to retain his lease and for his tall heated large boat building. Winter months are the most critical for the fleet. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. What was yours?
I'm Judy Omer, and speaking for myself, but also with the awareness that there were over 300 people who signed papers of concern about the location of the towers that are starting to infiltrate, it seems like, all of Petersburg. The tidal ones I know are in the works, and I understand GCI is here looking for four more places to put up four more towers, along with the data center that's on the table now. And when I started speaking in October, it was a little bit different picture than that, but still very concerning to me and a lot of the people. There's a lot of those here in the room today who will choose not to speak. And we could probably be here till 7 this evening, and I know that's not good. But are here to say we're still concerned about the towers. That hasn't gone away, and now there's even more concerns. But the mission that I started speaking with about back in October, the mission remains the same. You know, we want to keep towers away from areas where there's sustained proximity to people. And we want to update ordinances here in Petersburg to protect people and other living things. That remains the same. And we've tried very hard to work with all the different entities, whether it's planning and zoning or visiting with some of the borough employees, certainly with the assembly. You're probably exhausted hearing about it. So I'm not saying anything new today, just saying that the mission remains and the concerns are still there. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Name and who you represent. The floor is yours.
My name is Mike Coral. I'm representing myself, also in support of a friend, a semi-competitor. There's been a couple of instances where in business I haven't had the space to facilitate a job needing done, and having Taylor's tent at the haul out station has been imperative in multiple big jobs that I've had to accomplish. I'm here supporting Taylor and hopefully trying to help construct a workaround to keep him in place. I think it's imperative for the haul out that he doesn't have to move. I know that that's not as easy as said, but I support Taylor and 13 Marine being where it's at. I think it's absolutely necessary that place stays there. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else online, Clerk Regula?
No, there's no one with their hand up.
Okay, I'll just speak. Oh, absolutely, sir. Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
I'm Luke Short. I've been here since I got out of the Army in 1970. There is irrefutable scientific study that there are beneficial frequencies and also chaotic frequencies that affect living matter. These beneficial ones are like music. Plants enjoy Bach. They don't like heavy metal. But I can tell you that these high frequencies that are put out by 5G and 6G are destructive and will destroy, calcify the pineal gland, the pituitary gland. Do we have to walk around with Faraday cages on our heads and our bodies? We don't need this. This is even worse for developing child. All I can say is it's the wrong move. Health is more important than any dollar that could come into this community or any corporation or stockholders' holdings. That's all I can say.
Thank you for your testimony, sir.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor, I do have one more person online.
Let's go.
Okay.
Sounds good.
This is Carolyn Carvey.
Floor is yours, Carolyn.
Good afternoon, Assembly members. Thank you for hearing my plea that my husband and I live in Papkeys, and we moved there for the beauty and the tranquility and not for major cell towers nearby. And I'm really concerned about the elderly that live in the area and the potential DNA destruction, you know, damage caused by cell towers, especially if a house is near closer than 1500 feet. So I don't understand why we're putting them in a residential area and why we can't put them up on a hill somewhere and in an area where they're not gonna destroy and damage our community and most importantly, and also the aesthetics. Thank you for listening to our worries and concerns and hopefully making the right choices. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony.
Have a good day.
If anyone else would like to speak to things related to the agenda, please come forward. Heather, come on to the podium. Let's go honor system. Whoever comes up, just go for it.
I'm Heather O'Neill, here just giving my own opinion, my own personal opinion, and I know you've all heard it from me before. I'm very, very suspicious of these towers. I'd like to see them all placed way away from any communities, areas with activity, not just maybe all the sensitive people, but for sure the sensitive people, you know, schools and hospitals and all the stuff that we've talked about for months. But say up Mill Hill, where I share a property line with the new tower that's been built, if it catches fire, there's a danger to my equipment, which is, you know, necessary for me and my husband to conduct our business. If it catches fire and hurts our property or falls on it or hurts our property. And it's very unsightly and makes us nervous to work there because we're worried about what's gonna be placed on there and what kind of emissions we're gonna be dealing with on a daily basis. And for the first time, unlike last year, I won't be going before the Board of Equalization because I made my case to the assessor and he also said he would not want one on. He would not like to share a property line with a tower, a communication tower, either. So there are a lot of concerns. You can find data where there are cancer clusters around these towers, and I think that the more research, the better. Do it after you can prove they're worthy and good, rather than after the fact. But there are places, I'm sure, on the island that can be found that are away from where people work, live and play, go to school, go to the hospital. I guess pretty much all the things I've already said, and I really appreciate the opportunity to reiterate it all again. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. O'Neill. Anybody else in the audience would like to speak to things related to today's agenda? Feel free to come forward.
I too want to speak to the towers, especially the continued talk about Title wanting to the negotiation with the fire hall parcel.
Could I have you state your name and who you represent,
oh,
please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Apology necessary.
This
you're
is
fine.
Micah Klein, and I'm speaking for myself because I also want to kind of support everything that people have already said. But, you know, there was some ordinance language put forth, and I really think that it's imperative that we steer our own ship as a community instead of continuing to always be reactive. We can always change our mind later and give people special use permits or whatnot. But my concern with that we get this ordinance language that planning and zoning worked on and put forth to you guys in place is because I've done my own research. I've put solutions out there and other options for locations of towers. I've personally called regulatory DNR and other places to find out the process of leasing or buying state land or federal land, the process for the Forest Service and everything. If we don't get these in place, people can lease these lands and be right up next to subdivisions, and then you're devaluing people's property, and then there goes, you know, income tax revenue, and I'm not going to buy a house then, you know, right next to a tower. And so, and that's right now, people might be able to say, oh, we're not devaluing property, but in the next coming years, the more towers go up, people are going to shy away from coming in and investing in this community because the aesthetics and the what Petersburg has always been is not going to be the same when we have all these towers around town and people don't want to be around them and live in sustained proximity. So I really want to urge you to move that ordinance language forward and let our community steer our own course, because as some Deanna said before, you know, the Trump administration is trying to fast track legislation to take away the powers of us on a local and state level to regulate these things. So we need to get our ducks in a row before that happens so that we can steer our own ship and choose what we want for our community. Thank you.
Give her your testimony. Visitors' views related to today's agenda? Seeing none. Those here today who'd like to speak to, go ahead. Ms. Tyson, didn't mean to cut you off there.
I just want to say that I think that there are alternatives to these towers. I know that I watch the people putting up cable, and there's underground cable. There's the cable that's coming down through the ocean, you know, from, I wasn't planning on talking. There's cable that's going to connect down through this island, go over to Wrangell, and those are the things that when you take the radiation away from where the people are and use alternative methods to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, which is connectivity, that's the thing that I would like to see active investigation and thoughtful research done on that before you allow more and more towers. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And we'd like to speak to issues unrelated to today's agenda then. Now would be a great time to come forward. Go ahead, Mr. Kowalski. Floor is yours.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'm Tom Kowalski, speaking for myself, same group of people I spoke for earlier. And this is regarding the letter to support an extension, a time extension for Tidal Network to continue the work for an extra couple years. So, you know, as you know, we're in an environment of great opposition to what Tidal Network is doing here. And there are a lot of assumptions made. There are a lot of facts out there. There's a lot of fallacies. There's a lot going on, and I've been looking for a way to try to appease everybody, work with everybody, and you know what it's all come down to is we need to know what the facts are. If we know what the facts are, we can make the best solution. That's what really factors how well of a solution it is based on how factual the information is that you use to make it with. And so, you know, I looked at some things. I read the charter, And Article 2 gives you guys the power to conduct hearings, investigations, hire experts. You've got power. You've got tools in your toolbox that you can use to make the investigations, to make the facts known, and to make your decisions on those facts. And I know it's a very complex situation, and it's expensive. No matter which way we go, it's going to be expensive. So, like some others have said, let's err on the side of the people. Let's put the money behind the people. You know, something else I read in the charter, it refers to the comprehensive plan, which was written in 2016. And this plan came about for some great minds in the city that got together, a bunch of people. And the work they put in there, you can't help but realize how much work went into that document. But, you know, consider the environment when the document was formed. We were fishing. We were catching lots of pinks. We had a couple of the highest pink salmon harvest ever in Southeast Alaska. We were rolling in it. We were doing good. PFDs were high. So, you know, something that struck out with me in the comprehensive plan is the desire to move away from relying on grants to pay for what we're doing. And that's what was fine then, but our fiscal reality has changed quite a bit since then. And now we're relying on grant money from native corporations with massive strings attached. We have no control over that money. We need to go back to writing our own grants, hire a grant writer. They'll find the grants. They'll find a grant to pay for themselves. And, you know, something else I realized is, you know, a fact-based decision, when it's made right, will, in the long run, will make us money. If you're bottom-line thinkers, think about that. If you're making the right decisions, people will come. They'll stop leaving. Our community will be better, healthier for it. So as far as writing that letter, you know, I suggest you first figure out what the facts are and start making some decisions based on that. Thank you very much.
For your testimony. Anybody else today like to speak to things unrelated to today's agenda? Coral?
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Mike Coral again. Speaking on the Scow Bay turnaround, bear with me, I gotta find my notes.
No problem, take your time.
I am an advocate for this project. I do like it, however, I have some concerns, one of which I already brought up. As far as feasibility, looking at potential problems with the site for the water filtration and drainage. Just a few questions to ask that I did not see answers for. If the water filtration system were to fail at some point, I'm wondering if the facility would be shut down due to regulations at a cost deficit for those trying to provide services in the area. I'm wondering if there's going to be any kind of a borough subsidy for service providers there as far as billing goes, if the businesses are going to be held accountable for filtration on problems or on projects and metered usage. A couple of comments I have are protecting existing local jobs and operators should be just as important as providing new ones or attracting new service providers. So some concerns I have there is how will the borough prevent market oversupply that could drive down rates and make it impossible for existing local businesses to survive? And the rest of my questions that I had have been answered since I wrote them, so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coral, appreciate it. Anybody else on to be issues unrelated to today's agenda? Seeing none, we will proceed. Unless there's anybody online, Clerk Regula?
No, there's no one with their hand up.
Sounds good. I want to double check. All right, let me get caught back up here. Boards, commissions, and committee reports, there is none. We have nothing on the consent agenda, and we've got five things under report of other officers.